Last week, we aired an interview with Humboldt and Del Norte Film Commissioner Cassandra Heseltine, focusing on film tourism in the area and the upcoming Forest Moon Festival. What follows is the second of three parts of our interview, which centers on film production. The commissioner talks about what goes into bringing a high-profile production to the Redwoods, as happened when Academy Award winners Leonardo DiCaprio and Paul Thomas Anderson came here in January 2024, and it did not happen when the Netflix series Virgin River went to Canada, despite being set in Humboldt. It would come as no surprise to anyone when Film Commissioner Heseltine confirms that the Redwoods themselves are the number one reason crews come here to film. That would seem self-evident. But, according to the Commissioner, much more goes into getting production companies to spend their budget in Humboldt and Del Norte than showing them a photo of a random Sempervirens.
I would say the number one reason is the redwoods. You know, that's historically, you know, we have the largest groves of old growth redwoods. You know, ours are so majestic. So not only is the tree itself, but we have, you know, low populations. So you're not going to run into as much people or traffic, or where you're trying to film isn't going to have that kind of a problem. So even though we have a lot of tourism, there's so many groves, you know, that they can find, you know, or the parks will sometimes, you know, close the section off just for filming, you know, it works in their favor in regards to that. Obviously, our roads are pretty spectacular because of the background to them, as well as, you know, our coastline, our Victorians. You know, I would say those are the four top location reasons. The other thing that we're starting to find is people really appreciate the help, like, that we're super film friendly as a community, that the Film Commission itself, you know, we do a lot of hand holding. I used to be a producer for 10 years. You know, I worked in producing and casting and crew, and my other staff member worked in film and location. So we offer a lot of help besides, like, here's where you apply for a permit. You know, we really want to help them with all aspects because they're from out of the area. They don't know everybody and how to, you know, get something done in our area necessarily. And, you know, I think they really appreciate that. So we go above and beyond, you know, of helping them with anything that they may need within reason, obviously, to accommodate and help make it a win-win, you know, so that our community benefits from their outside dollars coming to the area, job creation. And but yet at the same time, we do hold them to certain standards, like they need to take good care of our people and our environment and be, you know, beneficial to the area.
Paul Thomas Anderson's One Battle After Another is an example of a film shoot that benefited the area.
That movie actually filmed in January, which was awesome. Okay. Because it dropped a couple million, you know, in the month that everyone knows hotels and restaurants are at their lowest. And so we were lucky to have them in January of 2024, you know, spend that money in our economy when, you know, everyone's just spent a whole bunch of money for the holidays. I started that movie in April of 2019. So pre-pandemic was my first meeting for that film. And that's a little bit more abnormal. I mean, though After Earth, I think it was about a year. Wrinkle in Time was about 6 months. Bird Box was probably 6 months to 9 months. But yeah, the PTA movie was 5 years, but mostly because we started it, the pandemic happened, he went on to make another movie, and then he circled back and came back to this film. But, you know, in the meantime, he would come, Paul Thomas Anderson himself would come to scout, and he would ask for help, you know, like ask for submissions of homes, and we would collect them, send them to him. He'd pick the top ones. He would ask us to reach out to the homeowner and say, hey, you know, are you willing to have the director? We couldn't say who he was at the time, but we'd say, are you okay with the director and a producer and myself coming through your home? You're on the short list now of what they're interested in. And so I would go meet Paul. And at the time, everyone was wearing masks, so people couldn't recognize him. And so we'd walk through these people's homes and I'd be like, this is a famous Academy Award winning director and you don't even know he's in your house right now. So it started with things like that to, we need a high school and setting up meetings for the high school. So a lot of location meetings and then permits, but then going into, you know, they asked for crew or casting. any element that they need. And when they arrive, they needed to ship a whole bunch of things to Humboldt that needed to arrive before they did, and some boxes and things. So at the time, it was hard for us at our workplace to receive the boxes. So I had them ship them to my house. I've done that many times. Props have been delivered. Matter of fact, I have one from Sasquatch Sunset still, a big fake log that's probably like 20 feet long that's in my garage right now. So we go above and beyond.
High profile filming in Humboldt and Del Norte is a huge boon for the two counties. Not only does it bring in dollars, it also lifts the profile of the area and directs tourist traffic to it. But magnificent trees, scenic roads, and Victorian mansions are not enough to keep filmmakers interested in filming here. It takes a concentrated effort, not just by the local film commission, with its staff of 2.5 people, but also the powers that be in Sacramento and Hollywood.
We've had big studio feature films maybe once every 5 to 10 years. And we, had maybe indies once every couple years. And then mostly were commercials, specifically car commercials. I noticed actually commercials starting to slowly shift and drop down over the past decade. And our indie feature films and studio feature films actually increase, which was great. And I think that a lot of that had to do with the tax incentive, the California tax incentive program, trying to keep productions here in California. And you got more points the farther you filmed north in California. So that was great. So people loved our area. They were going to get an incentive. It was a win-win. With 120 other tax incentive programs around the world, and some of these state and country ones having double of what we offer, we aren't competitive anymore, to Georgia and New York or Canada or Georgia, the country, even. Like some of them have 40% tax rebates even or incentive. And we only at this time have 20% with a couple add-ons. And with all of that, our numbers are just bleeding out, unfortunately, which is good that we're focusing on film tourism to compensate, but we still need those productions to come back to continue to film in the area. And so I did spend some time a couple weeks ago in Sacramento lobbying to try to help bring production back to the area with like the San Francisco Film Commissioner and the Sacramento Film Commissioner and a handful of others, and also the union and the commercial producers advisor. They're all saying the same thing, that we're bleeding out as a state as far as filming goes, and that we have to come up with a comparable competitive incentive.
With Governor Gavin Newsom's support, bills are moving through both chambers of the California legislature to raise the cap of the state's tax incentive program from $330 million to $750.
Which would be amazing, but he still needs to make the actual incentive more comparable, because even if the pie is larger, if it still only is 20%, that doesn't compete with a 40% one. Yeah. So we still need to actually have the overall individual project be able to reap more of a benefit.
As things stand now in Sacramento, available credit could go up to 35% in California, which would make the state competitive with states like Georgia and New York. Because of the cap on tax incentives has historically been 20% in California, even shows that were supposedly set in the Redwoods were going to Canada to film.
We're not competitive in a lot of ways. And like TV shows like Eureka, literally it was called Eureka. They said they were in Eureka. They filmed it in Canada. Virgin River, the same thing. They don't even call my office because they don't need to. They know already that if they go to Canada and they're going to have a better tax credit or rebate. And that they don't care that the trees are not redwoods and that they're probably Doug firs, that they, to them, it looks similar enough on camera that they can get away with it. So that's what they choose to do, unfortunately. So we don't even hear about the project until it comes out later and they're claiming to be in our area, as part of their storyline.
That was the second of three parts of our interview with Film Commissioner Cassandra Heseltine. The third and final part focuses on the infamous documentary Murder Mountain that left people in southern Humboldt furious over the portrayal of the area.
I got death threats over it. People thought that somehow I was doing something that was doing, and it's just...
While you are waiting to get the skinny on all that, you can go to kmut.org or your favorite podcast platform to hear the first part of the interview.